Awesome, awesome. It's so great to see you all. And if I haven't had the opportunity to introduce myself yet, I'm Pastor Nick. I'm the pastor here at the White Oak location of Bridge City Church. And I say it every single Sunday morning, so it's only fitting that I say it on Monday night. There is literally no place I would rather be this side of heaven than right here with you all, worshiping God and praising His name. And tonight's a familiar night for so many of us. It's a night with dim lights, and there's a crisp coldness in the air, and we're here to celebrate the gift that we were given as the world, and that is Jesus. Now, some of you in the room, you might be like, listen, I like the whole dim light thing and the candles that we have on the seats, but that's not necessarily why I came tonight. I came because I was invited over and over and over and over and over again by a family member or a friend. Well, I'm happy that that got you here, but I pray that there's something so much more that you leave with. And as we embark upon the Bible story tonight, and as Pastor Rick's been saying, the story that gave us the Bible, I pray that your perspective is changed, that your perspective may even be challenged, that your Christmas will be different than every other Christmas in the past, and every Christmas going forward will be different because of what God does both in and through this time. So I want to open in prayer, and then we're going to jump in to our text tonight. But Father God, I thank you so much for the opportunity that we have to worship you. I thank you so much for the opportunity that we have to gather in this place and remember a moment that changed everything forever. And Lord, I pray that as we remember the moment that changed the world forever, may it change our worlds. May it change our families. May it change our friendships. May it change our community and the communities that surround us. Lord, we pray all of this in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. I'm just going to make sure my candle doesn't slide off here. You're probably all looking up here. Why did he get a bigger candle than I did? That's because there's pictures floating around of me holding a little candle, and I will not do that again. It's not going to happen. And I even made sure that Rachel and Pastor Rick and Natalie got big candles too, because I don't want them to go through what I went through. I don't want them to do that. But tonight as we gather, listen, I want us to remember that this is not just a story we're going to talk about tonight. It is literally a perspective for the rest of our life and for us to adopt that perspective so it changes our everyday, not just our December, not just a week in December. And as we read this text tonight, I want you to place yourself in the middle of the story. Because you are. You're still helping God unravel the story thousands and thousands of years later. So let's read. We're going to turn to Luke 2. We're going to read verses 1 through 7. And this is when we see that God changed the perspective of the powerful people of the world. At that time, the Roman Emperor Augustus decreed that a census should be taken throughout the Roman Empire. All returned to their own ancestral towns to register for this census. And because Joseph was a descendant of King David, he had to go to Bethlehem in Judea, David's servant's ancient home. He traveled there from the village of Nazareth in Galilee. He took with him Mary, to whom he was engaged, who was now expecting a child. And while they were there, the time came for her baby to be born. She gave birth to her firstborn son. She wrapped him in snugly strips of cloth and laid him in a manger because there was no lodging available for them. Now, I want you to think about a room that there's no room in. Can you pretend that with me? Look around, okay? There was no room for them in the inn. So they had to go find a manger. Now, there's room in here for you. There's even more room at our next worship experience that's happening this evening. There's more room tomorrow and the night after. But right now, there's not much room in the inn. So we're already able to place ourselves in that moment of the story. This story that we're hearing, it begins with us understanding that the most powerful man in the world was issuing a decree that moved entire nations. Yet Caesar didn't know that his decree was literally playing right into God's plans, right into everything that God had planned. And Mary and Joseph, they arrive in Bethlehem. They get there. There's not much comfort. There's not this abundance of which you would think somebody who's carrying the king of the world would arrive in. There's no palace, there's no celebration, there's just a stable, a feeding trough, and a newborn king. And God was rewriting through this story history. He was rewriting everything. He was rewriting our here and now. And it all happened in a moment that didn't look so great, but greatness prevailed. So I don't know where you're at in your life right now, and you may think like this week hasn't been that great, or this month hasn't been this great, or 2025 hasn't been that great. But when you are submitted to God's plan, greatness will always prevail because he is who he says he is. And I want you to remember that no matter where you're at, the world expected for power to look loud. The world expected for power to arrive in opulence. The world expected so much more different things than what God gave them. Humility, surrender, and love. And listen, one of my favorite words in the world is perspective. And I'm praying that just even through these seven verses that we just read, that your perspective has already began to shift. And the way that I want it to shift is to be able to see that God often works his most powerful moments when the world least expects him to. Or he works most powerfully in your world when you least expect him to. When things are going differently than you planned, that's a perfect setup for God to move powerfully in and through your life. So let's go to verses 8 through 12, where God changed not only the perspective of the powerful people, but he started to change the perspective of how we look at the overlooked. That night, there were shepherds staying in the nearby fields, guiding their flocks of sheep. Suddenly, an angel of the Lord appeared among them, and the radiance of the Lord's glory surrounded them. They were terrified. But the angel reassured them. "Don't be afraid," he said. "I'll bring you good news that will bring great joy to all people. The Savior, yes, the Messiah, the Lord, has been born today in Bethlehem, the city of David, and you will recognize him by this sign. You will find a baby wrapped all snugly and warm in strips of cloth." I'm trying to keep myself from saying a snuggie. That's why every time I get to snuggly, it messes me up because I'm just thinking of a Snuggie. I saw one the other day at Costco. It would look like the greatest Snuggie of all time. So that's all that keeps popping in my head. I'm human just like you. He'll be lying there in the manger. This announcement of Jesus' birth was something that didn't go to religious leaders, didn't go to the political authorities, didn't go to those who were in power, but went to shepherds. Listen, I don't see any huge political authorities in this room. I don't see any, by the world standards, opulently powerful people in this room. I see normal, ordinary, everyday people in White Oak, Pennsylvania that God wants to give a message to, and then he wants you to take that message outside of these walls. And you may be thinking, I'm not prepared to do that yet. Do you think Mary was? A teenage girl. Overlooked by so many, but yet she was the one that God chose to deliver the greatest gift that our world has ever or will ever receive. So as you're sitting here tonight, I don't want you to feel overlooked. I don't want you to feel forgotten because that is exactly who God chose to deliver his message. The overlooked ones, the forgotten ones, the looked down upon ones, the smelly ones. You think tending fields didn't smell bad? That's where the animals pooped. So I don't care if you came in here tonight and you're thinking, I needed to get cleaned up first, or I need to get right before I get to God, or I need to get this before. No! God uses messy people. God uses messy people. How do we know that? He chose the shepherds, the messiest, to look down upon. So wherever you're at tonight, in your own life, in your own mind, in your own perspective, I pray that you understand that God can and will use you if you have a submitted heart to Him. Shepherds were ordinary, just like you and me. They were unimportant in the eyes of society. And yet, the radiance of the Lord's glory surrounded them. The light invaded the darkness of an ordinary night. Some might be thinking, I'm used to celebrating on Christmas Eve. Why do you have it on the 22nd and then the 23rd, Christmas Eve Eve? Because they're ordinary nights where God has done and will continue to do extraordinary things over and over and over and over again. The angel said this good news was for all people. We're all. And guess what? There are people that aren't here yet. They're part of the all. There are people that won't attend any of our candlelight worship times. They're part of the all. There are people that you're thinking of that has said to you, I will never step foot in church. The roof might fall in. Now, that's the Mon Valley answer. I can't come to church. It'll fall in. I can't come to church. It'll catch on fire. Well, guess what? We're going to light a whole bunch of fires in this place tonight. And when you put it out, you're going to make sure to not dump wax on the floor. Say it with me. You're not going to dump wax on the floor. And pay attention, there may be people in front of you that have long hair. Think about it. So what's our perspective shift from these verses? That God's light is not reserved for the elite. It's revealed to the humble. It's revealed to those who are humble in heart and have enough humility to say, God, I tried to do this on my own. I need you and I need the gift of your son. So wherever you're at, maybe you're somebody that you're struggling with pride. The first step to getting over pride is saying you have it. That's the first step of humility. Let's keep moving. Verses 9 through 14. God changed fear into joy. Suddenly an angel of the Lord appeared among them, and the radiance of the Lord's glory surrounded them. They were terrified, but the angel reassured them, don't be afraid. I will bring you good news that will bring great joy to all people. And suddenly the angel was joined by a vast host of others, the armies of heaven, praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest and peace on earth to those whom God is pleased. Listen, fear is often what darkness uses to control us. And I don't know. Maybe you walked in here and you were so fearful to walk into those doors. Maybe you were even fearful to pull into the parking lot. Where will I park? How will I get in? What's going to be waiting for me on the second floor? Why are they on the second floor? Why am I going to a candlelight worship time in an office building? This doesn't look like a church. All of these things can be fear that the enemy uses to control us and keep us stuck. But when fear crept in, don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. Guess what heaven responded with? An army that was ready to praise. And when we were worshiping earlier this evening, and we were singing Christmas songs all to bring honor and glory to God, that was us getting rid of the fear that was in the room and replacing it with a song full of faith, a song full of joy. And this was more than just a moment where God and heaven were using this moment as a birth announcement. This wasn't a birth announcement. It was a declaration that peace had come and darkness would not have the final word ever. That the light of the world was going to change everything. So what's our perspective shift for these verses? When God's light appears, fear gives way to peace. Fear gives in to the peace of the world, to the mighty counselor, to the prince of peace, to God with us. Darkness didn't win and will never win. When the angels had returned to heaven, the shepherds said to each other, "Let's go to Bethlehem. Let's see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." They hurried to the village. They found Mary and Joseph, and there was the baby lying in the manger. After seeing him, the shepherds told everyone what had happened and what the angel had said to them about this child. And all who heard the shepherd's story were astonished. Listen, the shepherds didn't delay. They didn't wait. They didn't say, "Well, maybe if the weather is a little bit more favorable." They didn't say, "Listen, I'm the only shepherd that smells good tonight. Maybe you all should stay here in the fields and I'll go." They started moving. When God told them, and he announced what was happening, the shepherds didn't delay. Listen, the invitation that you accepted tonight to come and experience Jesus might have been an invitation that's been extended to you years and years and years. The invitation might have been one that you delayed or debated about. It might have been one that you didn't want to move toward receiving. But this year was the year you chose to do that. And God wants to do something both in and through this moment. Because once they encountered Jesus, they couldn't keep the news to themselves. You may be wondering why your family, why your friends, why your coworkers continue to invite you or ask you to attend a church worship experience on the second floor of an office building in White Oak. It's because they've encountered a living God and they can't keep it silent anymore. There's a reason there are rows of people that are related to each other. There's rows of people that live in the same neighborhood. There's rows of people that continue to extend the light of Jesus to the world around them because they've encountered him in a real way, just like the shepherds did. They've encountered the peace of God, the forgiveness of God, the love of God, the joy that the King brings the world. And as we continue to go through this amazing, amazing story that has given us the Bible, I want us to understand that light is never to be observed only. This isn't just a night where you come and see the lights on the tree and the light of the screen and the light of the candles that we're soon to be lighting. It is not a night for just that. It is not a night for observation. It is a moment that is to be shared. And you may be thinking, well, how am I going to share it? Can I invite somebody to the 8 p.m.? You absolutely can. But I'm talking about you sharing it tomorrow morning for all you last-minute shoppers that haven't gone shopping yet. It needs to be shared in the places that you're going to go. The light that you experience tonight and the light that I believe that should change your life or already has changed your life should be experienced by other people, not just observed in an hour-long candlelight worship experience. So what is our perspective shift for these verses? It's that we, God's people, are encountering Jesus, and that encounter always changes lives. It changes where we go. It changes how we get there. It changes our goal when we get there. It changes everything. It changes how we speak. It changes how we react. It changes when we get angry or when we don't get angry. It changes if we're hungry and that brings anger. Do I have any hangry people in the room? My son Lennon sitting next to my wife Rachel, and he's 7 years old. And from the moment he was allowed to have snacks, Rachel had snacks for him. Rachel and I have been together over 20 years. She still doesn't carry around snacks for me. She says, you're a grown-up, you can feed yourself. I said, well, that doesn't make it fun. I'm worried about what Pastor Rick, our lead pastor, and Natalie are saying to Rachel right now. Don't bring that man snacks. Don't take snacks to him. Don't you dare. She would never hit me. And even if she did, no one would believe me. Verses 19 and 20. People went from witnesses to carriers of the light. But Mary kept all these things in her heart and thought about them often. Then the shepherds went back to their flocks, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and all they had seen. And it was just as the angel told them. Mary treasured this moment. The shepherds returned to their fields, the same jobs, same responsibilities, but not the same people. They were a people now that were praising God. They were a people now that understood the gift that was given to them. They didn't stay in the stable. They carried what they had seen back into the darkness. They carried what they had experienced back into their world, to their fellow shepherds, to the fellow people that worked alongside them, that did life with them, that laughed with them, cried with them, ate dinner with them. They took the experience back to them. And once you've encountered the light of the world, you carry him with you. And I'm believing for this moment right now that you're starting to think about, well, wait a second, have I ever encountered the Jesus he's talking about? Have I ever encountered the Jesus that changes lives? The Jesus that brings peace and joy in dark times? Have I ever encountered that Jesus? If you're asking that question or you felt that throughout any of the time I've been speaking tonight, these next few moments, I'm talking to you. Christmas doesn't end at the manger, it continues through us. Christmas doesn't end tonight or tomorrow night or on Christmas Eve or on Christmas morning. No, it continues on and on and on through each and every one of us if we've allowed for the light of the world to engulf our hearts and our lives. What does that mean? That means that you start first with humility, just as the King of the world started. But you get to humble yourself before him. Say, God, I tried to get into different areas of my life. I've failed in so many different ways. God, I need to receive the forgiveness that you've offered the world. God, I need to receive this forgiveness because I've done things. Things have been done to me. I need to receive this forgiveness and repent of the things that I've done and repent of living a life that hasn't been carrying your light into dark places. And the scriptures tell us that if we believe in our heart and confess with our mouth that he is Lord, we shall be saved. Saved from what? First off, an eternity without him. A light flooded with darkness. We're saved from ourselves. From allowing our flesh to be our boss instead of him being Lord and leader into our future. So if I've been talking to you for the last few moments, I'm going to ask you to do one of the bravest things you'll ever do. And why is it brave? Because you're in a room full of people that you don't know. But this isn't meant to be a private moment. It's meant to be a public one, just like the birth announcement of Jesus. And I'm going to ask you to do the bravest thing you'll ever do, but the greatest thing you will ever do. And I'd say, Pastor, that's me. I need to receive God. as my Lord and my Savior. I need to allow for the light of the world to change me from the inside out. I need to repent of my past, receive his forgiveness, and call upon him as Lord into my future. If I'm speaking to you, slip your hand up to God and say, God, that's me. I don't have a day, a time, a place. Amen, brother. Anyone else tonight? The heavens are already rejoicing over one, but they'll rejoice even more over two or three or four or five or six. Don't let this moment pass. I didn't want to share this, but you're not promised later. Yesterday, someone drove down Route 48 and they lost their life. 3:30 p.m. I left this building at like 2. You're not promised later. If you don't have a day, a time where you have RSVP'd for your eternity, let today be the day, December 22nd, 2025 at 7:13 p.m. Anyone at all? Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, God. Last call for now. So if you raised your hand, there's going to be somebody that's going to come pray with you and walk through that decision with you. I'm so excited that you made that decision. And heaven's rejoicing just as we did. But right now, we get to be carriers of the light now. We're called as sons and daughters of the King to spread the light into the world. And I'm going to ask that you stand to your feet with me. As we recognize that in a moment, we're going to light our candles, which we're getting ready. And as we dim the lights, we're going to have a moment where, just as one light in Jesus Christ changed the atmosphere of our world, from one light, God is going to change the atmosphere of this room. So the lights are going to dim down low. I'm going to invite my wife Rachel up and Pastor Rick and Natalie up to the stage. The moment all the lights go dim, except for that one right there. There it is. And let us remember that through one moment in time, everything changed. The light of the world was born. Let us remember that as he was born, he changed so many lives of those around him. That one light soon was shared across a whole entire community by the shepherds. And as that light was shared through that silent night, that silent moment, everything changed. It's an honor and a privilege to stand up here with Pastor Rick and Natalie, because I've been following their example for years of how to share the light of the world with people. And this is the first time that all four of us get to now share the light across this room.